And in terms of non-endocrine mechanisms, are there any speculated non-endocrine mechanisms of AIs?
No, but I think here's an interesting observation, which I made this point at the Miami Breast Cancer Conference. Why do some patients respond to a second AI?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why do they? Or do they?
Well, there is a small percentage. I think it's less than was first thought. When the first reports came out, it was reported around 30% of people get clinical benefit. But in fact, if you look at that data, a lot of the initial studies were with patients who'd had aminoglutethamide as the first AI, which we know is clearly not as potent as the third-generation aromatase inhibitors. And now when you're talking about exemestane after a third-generation aromatase inhibitor, the clinical benefit rate is now much more down around 20-odd percent. So it's not as frequent as was initially thought. But the fact that happens is an important question, because we all believe that AIs work through reducing estradiol. We know that exemestane doesn't reduce estradiol any more than the other aromatase inhibitors, you know, anastrozole or letrozole. So why, by moving from one AI to another AI, do you get results? And I think the only way for that is that you may well be dealing with other steroid pathways. For example, we know that there are certain differences between the AIs. Some of them have got different effects when you do ACTH testing, for example. And there may be some, you know, mineralocorticoid or androgen effects in some of these AIs. And so I suspect that's as much the maybe the reason why you respond from one AI to another rather than the classical, you know, estrogen-lowering pathway. Because I can't understand, since you've got no difference in your estradiol levels, why should you see a difference in the second responses? And so there must be other pathways.